If you're a minister, it means you're a soldier. Now, for most people, being a soldier is a scary idea. And it's an idea that for many people, they never even considered. But if you're going to be a Christian, you're going to be a soldier. And I want you to keep one thing in mind, because we've been talking about how it's all right here, available right now. There's nothing lacking of everything we need to be that soldier. And you have to change your attitude, as Davey said yesterday. The attitude we have to do is, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengtheneth me. So somebody asks you to do something, I can do that. Yes, sir, no problem. I can do that. I can be a soldier. I can be a mighty man or mighty woman of God. I can pray for the sick and them be healed. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So let's go forward in this. And I can worship the Lord. Can you? Let's find out. I want you to know, you know, we were singing that song, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. His grace is sufficient for me. I said, I can worship. I said, can you? Right? When you come to understand what it means when he says his grace is sufficient for you, you can't help but worship the Lord. You can't help but worship the Lord. When he says, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, that means every single thing you need, everything you need is right there. It may not feel like it's right there, typically because we are all too often about what we want to do rather than what he would have us do. When we're about what he would have us do, I tell you what, you will never lack for anything. Anything to do what God would have you do. So, you got a choice you got to make. Are you going to believe God? Are you going to serve God? Are you going to believe the lies of your flesh? Are you going to believe the lies of the world? Are you going to believe what everybody else does out here? Because if you do that, I can tell you what. You are not going to be that light on the hill. You're not going to have people come to you, because what do you have to give them? What do you have to give them? Now, we sang that song, Making War in the Heavenlies. You know, it says, our hearts are set apart for the courts of the Lord. Is your heart set apart for the courts of the Lord? Is that where your heart dwells in the presence of God? Partaking of all the good things of his kingdom and bringing them down to share and minister them unto others. You're not going to see it, folks. You're never going to see it with your natural eyes. We walk how? We walk by faith, not by sight. Are you going to believe it? Are you going to believe it? Because if you believe it, you can partake of it. But if you don't believe it, you can't. You can't. We will not be bought nor sold. You know, most of us spend our whole daily life being bought or sold. Don't even realize it. Don't even realize it. You know why we don't realize it? Because we're too busy out there trying to figure out how we're going to get this money and how we're going to do that and how we're going to do the other things, and our entire life is driven by that. Isn't that what he said over in Matthew 6? He said, after all these things, do the Gentiles seek? Okay, are you a spiritual Gentile? One that is still seeking after those things? Because a spiritual Gentile was an unbeliever. That's what that was about, an unbeliever. Unbelievers, because they don't trust in Jehovah Jireh as their provider to take care of all of their need, spend all their time figuring out how they're going to take care of it themselves. So what good are you? Can you spend any time and focus on the person before you? If you're worried about all this other stuff, you can't. I used to tell Scott. Scott and I would talk. We talk every Friday. And I'd tell Scott, I said, "Whose are you?" "I'm the Lord." "Well, then why would you put yourself out there on terms that are unacceptable to him?" I mean, if you're the Lord's, then all of his time is yours. Amen. You know, masters back on the plantation, they used to lend their servants out to people, did they not? They had a blacksmith, they had somebody, they would lend them out, and they'd pay them for their labor. If the Lord's going to let you be lent out to somebody else, do you ever consider what terms that would be on? If you trust him, then you won't let yourself be out but on his terms. It doesn't matter what they offer you. It doesn't matter. So you don't even realize how you're bought and sold all day long. All day long. Well, this week's about getting shed of that stuff. Amen. This is about getting shed of that stuff. We're not staying there any longer because that is completely unprofitable to the Lord. That is the unprofitable servant. That is the person who takes their talent and buries it in the ground. That's not the people of the Lord who go forward in his victory. So you guys, we got a choice. We got a choice. And we're going to play some more songs here, Rick. I want you to pick up. And we're going to move forward. I want you to worship the Lord. Determine in your heart, I am going to worship the Lord. I don't care what the neighbor next to me does. I don't care what anybody else in this building does. Me, myself, and I are going to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, the Lord God inhabiteth the praises of his people. Do you want him to inhabit you? Amen. Do you want him to inhabit this congregation? Amen. Do you want him to do something extraordinary in your life? Do you need him to do something extraordinary in your life? If you need him to do something extraordinary in your life, then why don't you get moving in him? Amen. As D.V. used to say, you know, if the Spirit doesn't move, move the Spirit. Let's move the Spirit of God. Amen?
Amen.
Did you hear that song, Lift Jesus Higher Than He's Ever, Ever Been Lifted Before? And He will draw all men unto Him. Lift Him higher than He's ever been. Do you know that that's the promise? That's the prophecy. That is the prophecy that is the promise to this congregation. Okay, remember, when we look back in the Old Testament, what do you see? You see an Elijah, and then he dies, and you see an Elisha, and then he dies, and then you see somebody else. Right. We can be the generation that has an Elijah, an Elisha, a Jeremiah, a Paul the Apostle, a Moses, all at the same time. All at the same time. That is the promise. That is the prophecy. And you know that David's been preaching this for years. This is not something new. This is the promise. It is right here, right now for us. For us. Let us not miss that opportunity.
Amen. You know, the opportunity has been here since the day each of us met the Lord. But we didn't die to ourselves. You know, I watch, and yesterday I was sitting at one point, and it is amazing that the Lord speaks, but people don't hear. People are full of what they have to say, whatever it is. I sat there and watched, and I could see how much was missed that would have been to a person's benefit because they weren't listening. We sang when the Spirit of the Lord moves in our heart, and there's a phrase in there where we say amen. Well, you know, when we say amen, it's when we're coming into agreement with the Word of God, which is contrary to our natural man. And we sing these songs, but we don't do what they say. If we did, it would be different. Now, that's what we're here to do, is to make that change so that that which we sing and say, we actually do. The song, I Will Run Through a Troop and Leap Over a Wall, those were the people that died that sang that song. We sing that song. And unless we repent and begin to truly give heed, we are those people. We have the truth. That doesn't save us until we believe it. Honestly, choose it over every other thing that has moved and grooved us to this point. And we're here for 6 days to have a light shown so that we can see what we have to put off, that we can put on Jesus Christ. But it is truly a choice to hear and then to believe it and obey it, to choose it. You know, we're bound so much by what our experience has been and who we are. What the heck does that matter? Doesn't matter a dang bit. Unless we choose to let it. And the truth be told, there has been a lot of that thus far. This is not about any single one of us at all. It is about the Lord Jesus Christ in a world that needs somebody to, as Steve says, bring him. We have not been that person. I mean, we have in some regards. I don't mean to negate that which the Lord has done in and through some. But we have not been Elijah. I haven't been Elijah. I haven't been Moses. Do you know Moses stood and he was a murderer? He was a man that said he was not of, you know, I forget how he put it about his speech, but he wasn't all that great about talking. David stood after murdering a faithful, good friend and taking his wife. I guess he got the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he got who it was about, and he died unto himself. Samuel had his eyes taken out. I mean, he must have been a pretty gross-looking fellow. And that man stood in God by faith, and that faith was that he believed God. That was the faith. And you know what his belief did? It performed the word of God, which was that Samson would begin to deliver Israel from the Philistines. And so he did in the day he believed God. Before I came here, you know, you look at the world and how far from anything good it is. How far. And, you know, you think there's really no way to, I mean, here we are knowing redemption and struggling to stand and dwell there. What about the people that haven't even been exercised to the extent we have been? But it is when we'll stand, when we don't care anymore about us and care only for him. And the only way to do it is to give heed. And we best be starting. We best be starting.
Praise the Lord. Well, I want to welcome you all to our third ministers' convention out here at Grace Ranch. And next year, we're going to be in our own chapel, because we're going to be obedient to the Lord and get this thing done. We were talking yesterday, or I was, over in 2 Timothy. We're going to go back over there. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Sometimes you got to remember this. Sometimes you got to wake up in the morning and remind yourself, God's given me a sound mind. That sound mind is the mind that believes God's word. The natural mind, it's nothing sound about it. If you stop and think about it, God never changes. And he never changes his mind. It stays the same. Now, you stop and think a minute. It just gets kind of curious to me. I think weird things sometimes. I understand that. But all the thousands and millions and whatever years, God has had his mind in the same place. We can't keep it there a full 24-hour day. We're constantly changing our minds. We're constantly going from one thing to another. Oh, I like this. No, I don't really. I really love that, but I want this. I guess I didn't want it after all. Have you ever noticed kids? Boy, they want a toy. Got to have that toy. You know what I'm talking about, right? And you get them that toy, and oh, man, they're happy and they're excited. For about a day or two. Then where's that toy? And that's that toy they couldn't live without. They were going to die without it. Now, Cheryl was weird. She takes after her daddy. Buying her something for Christmas was always easy because you just get her a piece of junk and she played with the box. She didn't care about what was in it. She wanted the box. She would do things with those boxes. Everybody's boxes. And sometimes I learned that every year it was the same thing. She didn't change her mind. She wanted the box. Sounds weird, huh? But sometimes maybe we ought to be like that. Maybe we should want the box. Because it's that box that brings the gift. Huh? It's the box that brings the gift. Now, you're going to have to do some thinking to figure out what I'm talking about. I understand this. I'll probably figure it out later on. The bottom line is God the Father brings us that gift, which is Jesus Christ. And we need to determine that we get that gift. Don't throw it away. That's what people do all the time. They get a gift, they go out, they got to have it, and then it's got to have something better, and it got to have something different, and got to have something better, got to have something different. Never satisfied. Because you don't have a sound mind. But we get a gift called Jesus Christ. He's a gift. You hear people talk about Jesus being our Savior. Jesus isn't our Savior. God the Father is our Savior who gave us the gift of Jesus Christ to be our sacrifice.
He is the sacrifice that God gave to us. And when if we have a sound mind, that sound mind that we're supposed to have never turns that loose. That is the most important thing in your life. That is the most important thing you can ever think of, ever dream of, and you never want to turn it loose. You don't want it out of your sight. And yet I watch over the years, people come to the Lord and they get excited. They get hallelujah, praise the Lord. And then they get bored. And they turn away. And they're not happy. And they're off looking for something else. You ever seen that? Yeah, some of you have seen it when you look in the mirror. You've got to come to that place where you have to remind yourself that the most important gift you've got is Jesus. And you got to do it every day. Because the natural man always wants something else. And the beautiful thing is, he's not only giving you that sound mind, he's giving you the power to keep it. He's giving you the power to keep that sound mind. And he's also giving you the love to serve him to want to keep it. I mean, he's all wrapped up in Jesus. He has given you everything you need. All you have to do is choose it. All you have to do is choose it. And when you choose it, you walk in it. You choose it, you walk in it. John Squires. Remember when you went to Nam?
Absolutely.
You remember the first time you went out in that helicopter? You remember the first time you went out in your helicopter? It's kind of scary, wasn't it? You made it, you got back. Once you made it and got back, it wasn't so hard anymore, was it? Because once you did it, you knew you could do it. And that's where you've got to be in the Lord. You've got to steel yourself. You've got to bring yourself to that place where you can do it. And then go and do it. And then guess what? Then you'll have the confidence to do it again and again and again and again and greater and greater and bigger and bigger and betterer and betterer. You like that word, betterer? But until you get up that courage to do it the first time, and see that God will be with you. And he will take you there and bring you back. You'll never get past wishing. Or hoping. Or wanting. You'll never get past that. And pretty soon, you get discouraged. And when you get discouraged, you go look for some other way to build yourself up. And the truth of the matter is, you're not supposed to build yourself up in the first place. It's not about building us up. It's about building him up. And the sad thing is, people aren't going to like you for it. And the saddest thing is, the very people you would think would rejoice are the ones that are going to hate you the most. They're going to hate you the most. Because you're showing them what they should have been doing a long time ago. These people, you know, Tristan. When Tristan came here, I didn't like him. I wouldn't have given you a nickel for that kid. And the whole thought of him being here was just, oh, God, do I really have to do this? Do I really have to do it? He had an attitude. He was angry. He was just total misery. The Lord said, yep, you got to do it. So I said, praise the Lord. Amen. And I started working with him. And now I kind of like him. He smiles. You can tease him and he doesn't get all bent out of shape. We'll have to talk to him about skirt work. Cheryl's been talking about making him up a little skirt so he can do his skirt work. See, there was a time when I said something like that. Oh, man, he's been out of here banging doors and breaking stuff and just being a stupid idiot. But God is good. Amen. And he's learned that he can actually back off and relax and trust the Lord and relax. He just doesn't know what's coming up next. And they got the boot camp coming up. But, oh, you thought you've already been through boot camp, huh?
You won't tell me how this works.
No. You understand that every one of us go through a period of time. None of us are any different than Tristan. We just showed it different. We just show it differently. And it is my job and some of your people's jobs to help people come through those things that hold them back. And you do it with love, power, and a sound mind. I know the scripture says power, love, and a sound mind, but I like it the other way. You do it with the power of God, not with your power. You do it with the love of God, not with your love. And you do it with a sound mind, which is the mind of Christ, not with your mind. And in order to get there, you got to turn your stuff loose. You got to turn it loose. And you've got to make a decision and you got to make a choice. And then you've got to not go back on it. We've heard it said, thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. And you've heard me say this many times. You go out here and the world and even in the churches, they'll tell you that if you say, God damn it, you're taking the Lord's name in vain. Well, that's not taking the Lord's name in vain. Not at all. It's not a very good thing to do because you're asking God to damn a thing, and that's not too cool. That's kind of opposite of what God tells us to do, right? But it's not taking his name in vain. You know what's taking his name in vain? And when you give your life to him, and then you go do your own thing. I married my wife, Ann. If I came back off the road and I find her with another man, and I hear she's been running around doing all kinds of weird stuff, then she has taken my name in vain. Right? She's taking my name in vain. When you become a Christian, we're called Christian because we follow after Christ. We've taken God's name. See, his first name is Jesus. His last name is Christ. In case y'all didn't know that. Just figured I'd set that little record straight. First name, Jesus. Second, last name, Christ. When you take his last name, you are to be faithful. If you're not, then you've taken it in vain and you're no better than an adulterer. And how do you think God's going to deal with an adulterer? Huh? How would you men deal with your wives if you found them in adultery? Would you say, oh, that's okay, I love you anyway, come on? Or would you have a little bit more to say than that? I might forgive her, but she's going to have a rough time till I get there. Amen? So the bottom line is, if you accepted Christ, now some of you say, well, I didn't realize that when I accepted Christ. Too bad. Too bad. Too late now. Too late now. I remember Ricky Baldwin years ago. Talking to him about accepting Christ. He said, well, what do I got to do? I said, nothing. Nothing? No, just accept him as your Lord and Savior. Do I have to quit smoking my pot? No, you can continue smoking your pot. Cool. Can I keep getting drunk? Oh, yeah, you can keep getting drunk if you want. Really? Oh, yeah. How about smoking my cigarettes? Can I do it? Yeah, you can smoke your cigarettes. Don't matter. All right, then I'll do it. I just didn't tell him the other part. And that was, once he did accept the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit was going to come in. And you know there's a proverb. And the proverb is very interesting. It says, where the crib is clean, there is no ox, but much increase cometh by the fruit of the ox. Now, let me translate that for you, okay? Can I translate it for you? Do you mind? It may not be too ecclesiastical, but I'm going to do it anyway. And the people out there listening on tape, don't. If you have a problem with it, then go fix yourself. But when you don't have an ox in the pen, there ain't no shit to clean up. That's the bottom line. And you want to get the shit cleaned up, you got to have the ox. And the power of God is the ox, which is the Holy Spirit. And when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God says, okay, boy, go to work. And the Holy Spirit comes in your life, and he goes to work, and guess what? All kinds of stuff hits the fan. And things start happening, and you don't like some of these things. And you might want to give up, and you might want to quit, and you might want to leave, but I'm going to tell you, once you get through it, it's a cool thing. Until you find out there's more. And then you start all over again. And then, wow, made it. Praise God. Right, Rick? And then there's more. I'll tell you what. If you could measure the crap that has been kicked out of me in a literal sense, by all rights and means, you should be able to put me in an aspirin tin. Because that's about all of me that's left. And you know what? He's still finding more. And I think the point is that when he's got it all, I will fit through that eye of the needle. Thank you, Lord. That was pretty good. Never thought of that before. I think when he gets done taking all that stuff out of me, what's left should probably fit through that eye of the needle without any problem. But you got to be willing to let him do it. Amen. Gee, that's pretty good. I might want to listen to that again. Now, Paul preached on this the other day. I'm going to hit on it a little bit. Thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You got to be strong in the grace, because when you're going through this stuff, it don't feel good. And to be strong in the grace means that you hold on to his word and believe that that grace is there for you in the midst of what you're going through. Because what you're going through ain't pretty. And the devil's sitting right there saying, oh, you stupid, you screwed up now, man. I got you. But the Bible says the thief stands before the throne of God accusing saints night and day. Amen? Who's the thief?
Satan.
Satan. Did it say the thief or say the devil? It says the devil. Says the devil. Steve, you didn't try to correct me. Hallelujah. He's back there trying to correct Robin. She said Samuel, and she meant Samson. He's back there. Hey, Samson. I said, you want to go up and help her out? She get it. She got it, didn't she? Yeah. We'll get it sooner or later. So anyway, where was I? Anybody remember? Anybody listening?
The devil.
Yeah. The devil stands before the throne of God accusing the saints night and day. So guess what, folks? You got aught against me and want to accuse me of something? Guess whose side you're on? You're not on God's side. And I'll bet you there isn't a person in here at one time or another didn't have something to accuse me of. And if you didn't, just hang around. I'll make sure you do. But anytime you look around and you find fault with someone and you find a reason to accuse them and you find a reason to judge them and you find a reason to put them down and you find a reason to say you're not right and all the other stuff you do, which is only there to build you up, you are working for Satan, not God. And the natural man naturally gyrates to that side. Naturally does it. It is not natural to look through and see Jesus in a person. And that's what the grace of God is all about. So when you're standing strong in that grace, it's not just for you. It's for that idiot beside you that's bugging the pure living daylights out of you. You got to be strong in the grace for that person. Yeah, like Tristan. Or Bob. Boy, I'll tell you, I know why it took 40 years for God to keep me from meeting Bob. Because it took 40 years for me to get to a place where I could have enough patience and grace to put up with him. I mean, there was a time when you wouldn't have wanted to know me. Ann knew about that time. She didn't want to know me then. She did not like me. Did not want me around. I mean, I'd get in there and I'd start preaching at 7 o'clock at night. I'd still go on 2 o'clock and have more to say. And by God, you better not raise your hand and ask a question. I put you down real quick and say, shut up. I'm talking. I was bad that way, wasn't I? I had a Bible house out there in Oviedo and had people stand with me. And I tell you, I'd pick one of them up and throw them right through the window for back talking me. But every one of them's walking in the power of God. God just showed me a better way to do it. Better way to do it. Takes a little longer, like breaking a horse. You can go out there and put a saddle on him, put a bit in his mouth, get on him and hold on and kick him and buck the pure living daylights out of him until he finally gives up. That's one way to do it. But that horse will never love you. Or you can get out there and put him in the round ring and work with him. It'll take a while. But when the horse is done, he loves you and he serves you because he wants to serve you. And God, believe it or not, uses the round ring method. Satan uses the other method. So I want to use God's method. Amen. Some of you will take to it. My prayer is you all take to it. My prayer is you all become what God wants you to be. First of all, be strong in the grace. Not just for yourself, but for those around you. He talked about the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. You know, to faithful men, that's somebody's going to do it. Don't go out here blabbing off all the things that God has shown you and God has given you to people that are not faithful. They will take it and turn it and use it against you. You go out to the world and preach what? The gospel. Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to Jesus Christ. He didn't tell you to go out and preach the Arminian theory or the Calvinistic theory. He didn't tell you to go out there and preach pre-Adamic or non-pre-Adamic. He didn't tell you to go out and preach first trib, mid trib, post trib, no trib, any trib. He said go out and preach the gospel, right? Now, when you preach the gospel, some will hear it. Some won't. The devil will take it right out of them. Gone. Going back to the seed and the sower, remember? The sower went forth to sow. He didn't go out looking at the ground to see if it was any good, did he? If he did, he would never thrown any among the rocks or the road or whatever. He just went out and started throwing the seed. That's your job in the world. You go out and throw the seed. Don't worry about if it falls on the ground, on the hard ground. Don't worry about if it falls in the rocks. Don't worry about if it falls in the thorns and thistles. Don't worry about if it falls in the good ground, because it's all up to God what happens to it anyway. It's not up to you. You're to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus so that you can put it everywhere. You start looking at the ground, you'll start picking who you're going to give it to. Huh? You start looking at the ground, you're going to just start looking at who you give it to, and then you're going to be judging whether they deserve it or not. And the next thing you know, it's all about you. What benefit is it going to be to me if they believe? Shouldn't be to any benefit. And boy, you want to get me going, There's one of these preachers around here start talking about my people this, my people that, and I've got this many people, and I got that many people. Hey, boy, that gets me. They go to me, how many people you got? None. You've been preaching 40 years and you ain't got no one? You got that right. I ain't got one. Well, you must be a lousy preacher. Yeah, well, that's the way it is. The fact of the matter is, I can't save you. It's the Holy Spirit that draws you. It's the Holy Spirit that makes you believe. It's God the Father that saves you. It's Jesus Christ that pays the price. And I ain't got nothing to do with any of that except throw out the seed. Jesus died for you because he loved you. Amen. And he knew that you couldn't do it yourself, so he did it for you. Amen. And you want to be worth it? Forget it. You want to deserve it? Forget it. You will never in this life deserve what God has for you. Cannot happen. Will not happen. Will not happen. It's the free gift of God. And that's the whole nine yards on that one. Some of that seed will fall on the hard ground. The devil will take it out. Some will fall among the rocks, and I've seen it. And people get all excited, and they hallelujah, and they praise the Lord. And the first time a little trouble comes along, which is part of the purging, which brings about patience and long-suffering. You got to go through it. It's part of enduring. We're going to read about that in a minute. Enduring hardness. You're called into the kingdom of God. You're called to be a soldier, folks. You're not called to be a civilian. The civilians are out there. It's called the world. You're recruiters. I don't know about you, but my army recruiter didn't tell me everything that was coming ahead. He kept some of it back. If he told me everything, I wouldn't have gone. But he had the music going, and he had the flag waving, and he had a great story, and I loved it. Hallelujah. But he didn't tell me about that drill sergeant in my face calling me everything but white and human, referring to me as though I was some part of a female anatomy or something. It wasn't fun. But endure hardness. Get through it. And guess what? When you come out the other side, you're part of a team. You go in, it's all about you. You come out, it's not all about you anymore. It's about the whole unit. It's about the Army or the Navy or the Marine Corps or whatever you join. Amen? When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not going to get all the information up front that you're going to go through. Quite honestly, because as a natural man, if you knew, you wouldn't do it. If you knew up front what you're going to have to face, do you imagine Paul, the Apostle Paul, Jesus standing there. Hey, Paul, I called you, buddy. Yeah, you're mine now. Now I want you to accept this and, you know, follow after me and be an apostle to the Gentiles. Isn't that cool? Oh, yeah, Lord. Oh, did I tell you I'm going to get you fed to some bears? Did I tell you I'm going to get some lions gnaw on you a little bit? By the way, did I tell you you're going to be stoned to death? More than once? I mean, if I was Paul, I said, wait a minute, let's discuss this a little bit. I want to change this a little bit. But Paul accepted the call, and God moved on him, and he endured the hardness, and you can say what you want. You don't hear that much about Peter after the Gospels. You got a couple little Mickey Mouse letters. You don't hear a whole lot about any of the others. But boy, you got a lot in there from Paul. And not just Paul, but the faithful men that he worked with. Look what? The Gospel of Mark. We would not have the Gospel of Mark if it was not for the Apostle Paul. The Gospel of Luke and the Book of Acts. We would not have it if it was not for Paul. Now, they had an election over there in chapter 1 where they decided they're going to choose somebody to take Judas's place. Did you ever hear from them again? No. Do you want to be that kind of Christian? Do you want to be the kind of Christian you get up there and you start reading the book of Acts and you think it's not, you think it's done? No, it ain't done. You go to the last chapter and see if you can find an ending. Luke just quit writing. He didn't end it. The book of Acts is still being written today. And you get up there, you can go and read that book of all the apostles that God's had down through the ages. And by God, I want my name in it. And I want more than just a little line. You want your name in it? Philip wasn't an apostle, but they wrote a lot about him. Stephen wasn't an apostle, but they wrote about him. Huh? Cornelius wasn't an apostle, but they wrote about him. You want your name in that book? You can have it in that book. But you've got to be strong in the grace. You've got to be strong in that grace, and you've got to put on that mind of Christ, that sound mind, and you've got to walk in the power of God. Got to do it. You got to make up your mind. If you didn't know it before you came here, you know it now. You're in an army. Get with it. Get with it. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. God has chosen you to be a soldier. I don't care if you're a man or a woman. I don't care if you're young or old. You're a soldier. It's time you start acting like it. Time you start acting like it. You got to endure hardness. You don't entangle yourself with the things of the world. What's that mean? That means get caught up in. You have to deal with the world, amen. But you don't have to get caught up in the world. Is that right? So forget about whether Heather wears purple hair. And my hair is longer than hers. Forget about that. Doesn't matter. Just close your eyes. Be strong in the grace and see right through it. Amen. She's really quite a pretty girl. Just don't look at the purple hair. You know, you go to chapter, what is it, 13 or 12 or whatever it is on love in Romans or wherever it is, Corinthians. You go over there, and it's interesting. Love sees no evil. Why? Because when you're in that love of God, you're strong in the grace, and therefore all you're seeing is the grace of God. If you're seeing evil, you're not in that grace. You're definitely not operating in love. Amen? That doesn't mean there won't be correction by your authorities in the Lord.
God will bring correction as needed. And you're also, doesn't mean that you're just supposed to be comfortable in being stupid. You want to get out of stupid and into brilliant in Christ. Amen? Don't desire stupid. Desire Christ. If you desire Christ, you can't be stupid. Some of you will understand that as time goes on. Once you're not so stupid. Well, Ricky was for years couldn't understand it because he was stupid. But God had mercy on me and on him and started knocking some of the stupid off. Not knowing at the same time he had been knocking stupid off of me for a long time too. And still is. It's an ongoing thing, folks. But if you're going to stand in the kingdom of heaven, you better learn it here and now. Because you get to heaven, if you get to heaven, you sin there, and there is no sacrifice for you. Oh, my brother Davy, when I get to heaven, I can't sin. Really? Tell that to Lucifer and a third of the angels. Tell that to the angels afterward that saw what happened to Lucifer and a third of the angels that went down and took the daughters of men. See what happened to them. If the angels can sin, what makes you think you can't? So you better learn to obey him now. You better learn to prefer him now. Or you just, next time you take a shower, just kiss your butt goodbye because it stinks to be you. You understand what I'm saying? I'm done.